These last few weeks, we have been confronted with parshiot, portions in the Torah, that describe in the finest and intricate details both the construction of the Mishkan and the formation, if you may, of the clothing of the Kohanim, both the Kohanim and the Kohanim Gdolim, or the Kohen Gadol. And the Torah is very careful in all of its specifications, in all of its details, how exactly we are supposed to construct the Mishkan, how exactly we are supposed to tailor the clothing of the Kohanim. And at first glance, we might look at all of these procedures and say to ourselves, particularly having lived thousands of years after they are no longer practically, or they cannot be practically applied to us today, that all of these concepts are very foreign, esoteric, if you may. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. In last week's, one of the Parshiot HaShavua, the Dapei Parshiot HaShavua, the weekly Parsha sheets that are distributed in shuls here in Eretz Yisrael, one of the sheets asked the question of how exactly are we supposed to bring home or bring forward the concept of the construction of the Mishkan in today's generation. And indeed, it is a very appropriate question. But nonetheless, having said this, it is very clear that the Torah has a number of extremely prevalent messages that apply to us and are meant to apply to our lives in the description of all of these procedures. And one concept in particular that I want to share with you, the Gemara in Menachot discusses a very interesting question. We're all familiar with the fact that the Torah has a prohibition called Me'ila, which means that if a person dedicates something to Hekdesh, he sanctifies a materialistic or physical thing. For example, if I take a chair and I decide this chair is going to be dedicated to the Beit HaMikdash, that chair becomes Hekdesh and can only be used exclusively for the purpose of servitude in the Beit HaMikdash. Anyone who comes along and decides to use that chair for their own personal hana'ah, their own benefit, they have transgressed an isur deoraita, a prohibition from the Torah of Me'ila. So the Gemara asks, the tabernacle was an edifice which clearly was taken apart and constructed, put together during the travels of Bnei Yisrael in the desert. Well, during its construction, sure enough, if you're standing in the heart of the desert, the sun is beating down on your head, it's boiling hot, sweltering heat. Well, as I construct the rafters of the roof of the Mishkan, in an attempt to protect myself or shield myself from the sun, I decide to stand under the rafters. And sure enough, essentially, I'm using these boards, which are supposed to be used exclusively for the service of the Mishkan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kevi'achol, I'm now using the boards for my own personal benefit, as a means or a source of shade, protection from the sun. How did one avoid this particular problem during the construction of the Mishkan to avoid transgressing this prohibition, this Isser of Me'ila? And the Gemara says a very interesting formula. The Gemara explains the concept of bonin b'chol ve'achar kach mikadshim, which means that Bnei Yisrael would first construct the Mishkan, the edifice in itself, in its physical attributes, and only after, upon its completion, upon its final stage, whereby the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was standing, at that point, Klal Yisrael would once again be Mekadesh, sanctify the Mishkan. So during its construction, it was actually permissible to use the raw materials for one's benefit, and only after, upon its completion, could one appreciate and designate the Kedusha, the sanctity that would exist upon the temple, the Mishkan itself. Rav Shlomo Aviner, the forefront leaders of religious Zionism today,
explains that this concept of bonin b'chol v'acharkach mekadshin applies not only to the Mishkan, but it applies conceptually to Eretz Yisrael today as well. From a religious Zionist perspective, everything that takes place in Eretz Yisrael, including Qassam attacks upon Sderot, as tragic as they may be, as difficult as it is for us to grasp and to understand, everything in Eretz Yisrael, from its education to its socio-economic infrastructure, although they all appear to be mundane and irrelevant, all of these concepts have everything to do with ultimately arriving at Achar Kach Mekadshin, with ultimately arriving at the great prize of deriving and infusing Kedusha, holiness, in a complete structure, namely Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, bonin b'chol, we construct in Eretz Yisrael everything which appears to be mundane in order to ultimately arrive at Achar Kach Mekadshin, at reaping the benefits of Kedusha. All of the challenges that we confront in Eretz Yisrael have everything to do with arriving at the final structure of Kedusha. And God knows there are plenty of challenges. I always find that whenever I board the plane, the El Al plane coming back from a foreign country, from Chutz La'aretz, back to Eretz Yisrael, so immediately you have to change, excuse me, your mindset. You have to switch back to being an Israeli. The aggressiveness, the hostility, the pickiness, all of a sudden you're a different person. So I remember I was coming back to Eretz Yisrael when I was a rabbi in the United States. Came back to Eretz Yisrael to make a visit, and I had rented a car from Avis. Avis, an international rent-a-car company, what could possibly go wrong? I come out of the plane, I walk over with the Avis rent-a-car attendant, takes me over to my car, turn on the car, and I realize that there's only half a tank of gas in the car. So already it started. One moment in the country and it's already beginning. So I looked at the fellow and I said, you know, when you rent a car, you get a full tank of gas. I said, well, there's only half a tank of gas here. So he looked at me and he said to me, and I'll tell you in Hebrew first and then I'll translate. He said to me, Azma Zenosea. He says, what's the problem? It still drives. I said, I understand, but I'm supposed to get a full tank of gas, not a half a tank of gas when you rent a car. So he looks at me and he says in Hebrew, he says, interesting point, he says, as mausim, what should we do? So I thought to myself, I don't know what we should do. You're the person who works for Avis. I don't work for them. There has to be a full tank of gas in the car. But from the first encounter with Avis rent-a-car in Eretz Yisrael, you already learn to appreciate what bonin b'chol v'achar kach mekadshin means. Fill the tank with gas so that the car can ride, so that it drives and uses its mileage properly. And I would venture to say that this really is the premise, or this concept applies as well to the issue of marriage. Many aspects of marriage appear to be, particularly the arguments that we have at the beginning of our marriage, appear to be trivial. My Rebbe, Rabbi Wein, always likes to say the best thing about marriage is that you're never alone. The worst thing about marriage is that you're never alone. Well, this is all true. Everything can be viewed as bonin b'chol, mundane, unnecessary, superfluous. But ultimately, a marriage becomes worthwhile when it is seen as significantly meaningful, when you arrive at the Achar Kach Mekadshin. Marriage is clearly procedural, and it's all worthwhile providing that the Zug and that the family focus on the concept of Lekadesh, to sanctify. Hence the utterance that said under the chuppah, Harei at mekudeshet li, You are sanctified to me, says the Chatan to the Kala. Because the ultimate purpose, after all is said and done, after all the arguments, after all the bickering, after all the wasted conversation, the focus of the Zug, the focus of the Jewish family is Mekudeshetli, to be Mekadesh, to sanctify. And this is precisely the message of this week's Parsha. The Torah tells us in Perek Chavtet, Pasuk Mem Dalid, as it describes the role and the function of the Kohanim, the Torah says quite clearly, V'kidashti et ohel moed, v'et amizbeach, v'et aharon, v'et banav. Here there is summation. I have sanctified the ohel moed, the tabernacle, the mizbeach, the kelim, the utensils that fill the tabernacle, and Aharon ubanav, Aaron the priests, the high priest and his children. Akadesh lechahen li, I will sanctify in order for him to service me. And the question is rather obvious, Rabotai. Why does it say v'kidashti? And once again, ekadesh lechahen li. This seems clearly to be superfluous, unnecessary. Why does it have to tell us that I sanctify all of these things? The tabernacle, the kelim, and Aaron and his children. Ekadesh, I will sanctify them. It's already said. The Meshech Chachma says a beautiful idea. Whenever the Torah uses the word li, as it says at the end of this pasuk, ve'et banav akadesh lechahen li, li says the Meshech Chachma, for me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kayam la'ad uledorot. The idea of for me, capital M, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that this concept, this union, this Kedusha, exists now and for all future generations. Says the Meshech Chachma, Kedusha shel HaKohanim, Eino talui b'mizbeach, hema kedoshim le'atzman mehabore yitbarach. The holiness of the priests of the Kohanim have nothing to do and is certainly not dependent upon the sanctity of the mizbeach, of the altar, or even the sanctity of the temple itself. Hema kedoshim le'atzman. The Kohanim are innately and inherently kadosh. They are holy unto themselves. Why? Because they were sanctified by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This concept that there is an innate sense of Kedusha alive and well in each person, regardless of what goes on in the world around us. And when this is the goal orient of mankind, to infuse the world with the Kedusha that potentially exists in each and every one of us, that is precisely what allows our lives to be purposeful and what allows us to proclaim as one with full confidence, Ve'asuli Mikdash, Ve'shachanti Betocham. Shabbat Shalom.